The Federal Coalition has announced plans for a new inland rail line to cart freight on one of the world's busiest transport corridors from the Port of Brisbane to the Port of Melbourne. The news follows the Prime Minister's announcement of Labor's plans for a high-speed passenger rail link between Brisbane and Melbourne.
First of all, the government has decided in response to this report to legislate to preserve 1,750 kilometres of rail corridor all the way from Brisbane through Sydney to Canberra to Melbourne. Secondly, to legislate and invest in the establishment of a high-speed rail authority which will oversee the planning, the detailed market testing, the development of the full and final business case, and to oversee the development of this project for the future. These are important decisions in laying out the future of our rail infrastructure for the economy's future.
Prime Minister Kevin Rudd. Well, Nationals leader Warren Truss says the Coalition, if elected, will match Labor's pledge of $300 million to buy land along the corridor and obtain approvals. We've requested to speak with Mr. Truss, but he's not available. So we've called on former University of Melbourne researcher Patrick Herbst to discuss the prospect of fast trains and freight links. Patrick's research director for transport with Beyond Zero Emissions. It's a think tank set up to develop climate change solutions. Good morning.
Good morning.
Patrick, what's your initial reaction? Should we have fast passengers, fast freight, or both?
Very simple. We should be doing both of those things and certainly even more. With the two very different projects, the high-speed rail line is about building an entirely new rail line from Brisbane, down along the coast, Sydney, linking up Canberra, Albury, Shepparton to Melbourne, running at 350 kilometres an hour, allowing travel times of less than 3 hours between Melbourne, Sydney, Sydney, Brisbane. And the inland freight corridor mentioned by the Nationals is simply upgrading some of our existing rail lines and building a few select new sections to allow more fast and efficient freight movements between Brisbane and Melbourne. So serving two very different purposes, and basically the economics are great for both of them.
Well, is this the right place, though, for high-speed rail? We're talking Brisbane-Melbourne.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So the fascinating thing about Australia is that, despite the fact we don't have that large a population by world standards, it's all very concentrated in the Southeast Corridor. 60% of the population lives in that corridor between Melbourne and Brisbane. And it's one of the most highly frequented air corridors in the world. And what that means, just to step back for a sec, just saying it's one of the busiest air corridors in the world doesn't mean much until you think of pretty much any pair of cities that you can imagine which might be really busy, say London, Berlin, New York, Chicago, San Francisco, LA, Tokyo, Beijing, anything like that. We beat them hands down. There are more people travelling between Melbourne and Sydney than on any of those corridors. The only ones which beat us are Sao Paulo to Rio de Janeiro, Shanghai, Beijing, and a couple in South Korea and Japan, which are between islands. Mm. So there is a huge amount of demand in there, and we're very wealthy. We pay good money to travel along those corridors. So in the analysis that we've done our own study into high-speed rail, we've found this. The capital cost could be done at about three-quarters of the price of the government study, at $84 billion instead of $114. And that would be paid back over the capital costs will be paid back over the lifetime due to the revenue and the profit it would make from all the people who would travel on it. Now, that $30 billion saving leaves plenty spare to spend $4.5 billion on upgrading the inland freight corridor from Melbourne to Brisbane as well.
Mm, so you think both are affordable?
Definitely.
So we just need the election will.
Indeed.
And tell me, that's what you talked about, the study in 2010, $20 million for that study, came in saying that it would be profitable, but only after the government had contributed the bulk of that $114 billion in construction costs. Mm-hmm. So you do believe that that's going to be enough money to be able to build both of these things?
Certainly.
Even in the current economic situation?
Oh, certainly. And the thing is that when the previous study that was done, we did quite a detailed review of that ourselves and found that they'd made some questionable assumptions on the likely fares that people would pay to use a high-speed rail service. Now, in our study, we've still price the fares at lower than the equivalent airfare, so it'd still be a discount. But the thing is, if you actually look at how much people pay for airfares along those routes, it's more than what they estimated in the previous study. So we've redone the numbers based on just looking at what the market is right now, like how much people actually do pay right now to travel between those destinations. Price the high speed rail at a slight discount to that, and that's enough money to actually pay back the capital costs as well as just the operational costs. So that fundamentally changes the economics of this project, and it is not something that's not the way it's been looked at now, but it's certainly the way we need to look at it in the future.
What about a price on carbon? Is that going to make rail transport more attractive than road transport?
The thing about carbon pricing and transport is carbon pricing is a good mechanism for things like electricity and other parts of the economy where there's, you know, sort of small marginal differences between the polluting alternative and the clean alternative. The thing about transport is we spend vast amounts of money on it already. We spend $160 billion a year on road transport in Australia. And so simply making a small marginal change isn't really enough to make a difference unless you look at, well, what are the options that people have? You know, if one option of, you know, taking rail is slow and inefficient because it hasn't received the investment over the past few decades that road has, then that small marginal carbon price isn't going to make much of a difference. We've seen petrol prices increase, you know, almost double over the last decade or so, and yet we still use a lot of roads. So the way we approach the transport and climate change problem is look at, well, what sort of a transport system do we need? Where do we need to invest money in providing better alternatives, faster alternatives, and more efficient and more convenient alternatives than the current system?
At the risk of sounding cynical, though, mm-hmm. there have been these promises in the past mm-hmm. that have amounted to very little. What's your feeling? Do you feel like this is a more positive environment to be looking at these sort of systems for what is an incredibly busy corridor?
Well, it's going to take some vision, and that's the thing. You've got to... what happens in the election is, you know, often just a few announcements here and there. It's certainly great to hear that the Labor government's considering or has said they're going to put in place the next steps, put in place an independent authority to build the line and actually start funding that. But really what we need to do is step back and say, well, look at what are the problems Australia has. Australia spends a huge amount of money on transport. It's an old system. It's an outdated system. It's one which shifts a lot of the costs onto private individuals and businesses. I mean, government only pays for the roads, but we then have to go out and pay for the cars, for the fuel, for the trucks, for everything. It very much shifts the burden onto the Australian people. Whereas if we step back and say, well, let's look at a society, if we're going to spend several trillion dollars on transport over the next few decades anyway, which is what we are, then can we think of a better way to spend that money, or even less than that money, on a system that's better for everyone?
Thank you for coming in this morning. That's Patrick Herbs, a former University of Melbourne researcher. He's done a lot of work on looking at this question of public transport and freight lines between Sydney and Brisbane, between Melbourne and Brisbane. And joining us on the line is Warren Truss, the leader of the National Party. Good morning, Mr. Truss. Thanks so much for joining Bush Telegraph.
Good morning.
Tell us about your plan. Have you heard some of what Patrick had to say? He's saying that it's certainly affordable to have a freight corridor and a fast passenger train.
Well, they're two different projects, obviously, with totally different objectives. The importance of investing in our freight rail lines is the fact that the transport task is doubling every 20 years, and if we don't want to have, you know, double the number of trucks every 20 years on our roads, then rail has got to play a bigger share in delivering our freight task. Let me say, I think also we should be making better use of coastal shipping than we do to bring freight from our particularly long, over long hauls from, say, Perth to Melbourne, Melbourne to Brisbane. But unfortunately, the current government's shipping reform has meant that shipping is drifting out as an option for moving freight between our cities. So that makes the rail task more important. The announcement we've made today in relation to the Melbourne to Brisbane railway line will make a real difference in moving freight between our capital cities. Now, it'll become a much more reliable operation. That's been the problem for rail. It hasn't been seen to be competitive, not because of cost or speed issues, but because it hasn't been reliable. And a big part of the reason why it hasn't been reliable is that interstate rail, much of it has to move through Sydney, and that has created enormous difficulties in actually getting trains through to their destination.
We are talking about freight here, though, aren't we, Mr. Truss, opposed to the high-speed passenger line that Labor has committed to?
Yes, that's a different project that we're talking about.
So would you commit to a high-speed passenger line as well, or do you want to get freight off the ground first?
Well, we'll continue work on the very fast train. There are clearly some major issues to overcome in relation to the very fast train. The current estimate is it will cost $114 billion and that none of that will be able to be recovered from passengers. In other words, the taxpayers are going to have to put in $114 billion, and that is in today's dollars. So by the time it's actually built, it's probably going to be $1 trillion, and that's going to raise questions then about whether it can be even competitive with air transport and other options.
Well, we've just got Patrick Herp here, and he's been doing a lot of research on this, and he thinks $114 billion leaves you some change. Patrick,
I'll just ask
him to explain, Minister.
Yeah, I've heard you mention the $1 trillion figure before, Warren, and I'd really have to ask that you have a bit of respect for the detailed work that's gone into these studies that have really been quite conservative in their estimates. I mean, we in the study that we've been doing with our own team of engineers, we estimate it could be done for about 3/4 of that price. And we've also found that if you look at actually what the market demand is for air travel at the moment and how much better a service high-speed rail would provide and how much passengers would pay for it, it would actually be able to repay that capital cost over the lifetime of the project. So it wouldn't be like building a road where the government pays the money and doesn't receive anything in return. It would be basically an investment that will pay back its capital costs.
What's your view on that, Minister?
You're being very, very optimistic. Very, very optimistic. Many people think the $114 billion is optimistic, and the people who did the study were noted supporters of the very fast train. So I don't think they would have done anything which would have made the package look less attractive than they've come up with. Now, when I talk about $1 trillion, I'm talking about in real time dollars. Now, this project's not scheduled to be completed until 2067. And just natural inflation takes $114 billion to that sort of number by the time it's completed. I've also got concerns about just the enormous potential for the cost to blow out. Remember when Labor first announced the NBN, it was going to be $4.7 billion. Now we're looking at like $90 billion. Well, and I think a project like the Very Fast Rail, which is going to go through urban areas, it's going to have a lot of environmental issues to be dealt with. There's going to be clearly matters of access into the cities, require extensive tunnelling. The advantage or the good thing that's happening is that tunnelling is getting cheaper, and so that will make it more of a realistic proposition to put more of the railway line actually underground.
Otherwise,
you're actually going to have very fast trains travelling through suburban areas at rooftop height, and that will obviously cause real difficulties.
Yes, that's a bit disconcerting. Can I ask you, please, while I've got you there, Minister Truss, we'll agree to differ on that sort of the cost and the timeline, and in fact, the electoral will, because the Coalition's certainly looking likely to get in on September the 7th into government, so it'll be interesting to see if that translates into a will to build this line. One other thing I wanted to ask you about September the 7th, should Coalition win government, are you going to be given the trade portfolio as the leader of the National Party?
Well, 6 years ago, I indicated that I wanted a domestic portfolio. I don't think it's practical for the leader of a party to be a trade minister, because the trade minister is expected to be out of the country.
So which portfolio do you expect to receive, Mr. Truss?
We're not talking about what's going to happen. We haven't won the election yet. And it'll be plenty of time to talk about who's going to have what portfolio if we win. We've got another week and a half of hard work ahead of us yet. I am currently the Shadow Minister for Infrastructure and Transport. Tony Abbott wants to be an Infrastructure Prime Minister, and I'm looking forward to being his Infrastructure Minister. I think that'll offer enormous challenges, and the announcement we're making today about the Melbourne to Brisbane railway line is a substantial step forward, and I'm excited about this project, along with many of the other big infrastructure projects we've announced over the last few weeks.
You say you're a week and a half out, but you must be feeling optimistic looking at the polls and travelling the country.
Well, some polls have us ahead, and that's encouraging, but we know that you only have to be ahead one day every 3 years to be in government. And so we've got to make sure that we're ahead on September the 7th, and that means working hard over the next week and a half.
Sounds a bit like a football final. Thank you very much for joining us. We do appreciate your time here on Bush Telegraph.
You're welcome.
Nationals leader Warren Truss and Patrick Herp, thank you very much for coming in from Beyond Zero Emissions.
Thank you.
You're listening to Bush Telegraph. It's 22 minutes past 11.